Hello, and thanks for joining us today. I'm the editor of Building Enclosure, Lindsay Lewis. In our fall 2019 issue of Building Enclosure, Tiffany Kopak, commercial building system specialist at Owens Corning, looks at the role of mineral wool as a continuous insulation. The article notes the versatile qualities that allow mineral wool to deliver performance, ranging from moisture mitigation to fire resistance to compressive strength in the enclosure's exterior walls. And while mineral wool has often been viewed through the lens of density, new research suggests compressive strength is a key factor in matching insulation to the job. Tiffany is here to speak with us about all of this in today's podcast. Welcome, Tiffany. Tiffany, do you want to tell us more about what you do in your role?
Sure. Thanks so much for having me, Lindsay. Yes, I am a registered architect working for Owens Corning to help integrate our insulation products into complete systems. So not only do we manufacture high-performing materials such as mineral wool insulation, cellular glass insulation, extruded polystyrene insulation, and fiberglass, which everybody is familiar with, we actually look at how these products can be used in code-compliant assemblies. So I have a lot of fun working with all those pieces and parts.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Let's start off by touching on the article on building enclosure. Research suggests we should be viewing mineral wool as more than its density and weight. Can you elaborate on what you mean by the compressive strength?
Absolutely. We have seen these products, particularly mineral wool continuous insulation, produced in the market, and they are listed by their density, which would be somewhere around 4.5 pounds per cubic foot, up to something like 11 pounds. However, that's only a physical property of the material, and what you're really looking for is the compressive strength and the way that that product can resist loads. In this case, for a continuous insulation, we're looking for a material that can resist the load of the fastener attachment system. So we not only have to attach the insulation to the wall using several different types of specialized fasteners that we cover in the article, but we also want to attach cladding over that continuous insulation. To do that and to also create the highest performing continuous insulation possible, we want to try and keep as many of those through fasteners to a minimum and keep them outside of the mineral wool insulation or, for that matter, any other continuous insulation. So you'll see a lot of girt and grid type systems, some of them clip and rail type systems that are completely fastened outside of the insulation. To do that, you need a very high compressive strength product that's able to resist those loads and hold that material in compression for the life of the building. So we're starting to see some innovation in that. Very proud to be able to separate the difference between compressive strength and density of the material. I hope to see some more innovation soon, discussing what types of claddings we can attach over that and just really see what the limits are of the materials that we can produce.
Now, you've described mineral wool as a chameleon insulation. What are some things we've been learning about the performance it can deliver in various parts of the enclosure?
One of the fun things about working with mineral wool insulation is that you can use it for so many different types of solutions because of its physical properties. Not only is it inorganic, so it's not going to support mold and mildew growth, but it also can be engineered in several different ways to create the different densities like we talked about, as well as different compressive strengths. Additionally, we can actually make it either hydrophilic or hydrophobic. So in a hydrophilic application, we may see it used for hydroponic growing, for example, in the tomato growing industry. That is a specific, unique material that's engineered to retain moisture and provide nutrients and water for the vegetation, the plants that we're trying to grow as a crop. Conversely, we can actually add a different material to it and engineer it to be hydrophobic so that it actually resists moisture. And I think you'll see some illustrations of that in the article. Particularly, we would use that for applications like continuous insulation, where it's going to be located on the exterior of the wall, outside of or outboard of the air and water barrier system. So that material on its own must resist moisture absorption and drain water off, and it's able to do that through those properties. So I would say when you encounter mineral wool insulation, keep in mind that we can do a lot of different things with that material. We can also engineer it to work as a fire safing material, a fire stopping. It's used in perimeter fire containment. All of those different things are just slightly tweaked to create and capitalize on the benefits of some of the different properties of mineral wool.
And can you talk about some of the research findings that suggest lighter weight products can deliver comparable mechanical performance?
Sure. I alluded to that a little bit earlier, but we actually can increase the compressive strength of the material. It's a new innovation that we've come up with here at Owens Corning, and yet it doesn't affect the density of the material. And what that means is we can create a lighter weight product that is easier to ship, easier to handle, and yet it will still have those same compressive properties that we're looking for to attach the cladding attachment system and a very heavy cladding outside of the insulation. What that will ultimately mean is we've created a more continuous insulation, if you will. So what we're looking at there is having the least amount of penetrations with conductive materials like fasteners through our insulation. If all we have to do is use a couple of screws to fasten those cladding attachment systems through the mineral wool, and the rest of that system is outboard of the CI, the mineral wool CI, we've increased the performance, the overall R value of that wool. So I'm excited to see where that will take us and to learn more about the types of cladding that we can attach. And the sky's going to be the limit.
And what are some of the best practices when it comes to properly installing mineral wool in the enclosure?
Well, certainly you want to select a material that is appropriate for your particular application. So we've talked about the cladding attachment systems that are completely outboard of the mineral wool CI. If that is not the system that you're trying to use, if you have perhaps, you know, a heavier weight material that needs a little bit more direct attachment, we want to go ahead and address that. And in that case, you might be using a lighter compressive strength mineral wool insulation, but it would have different physical properties. So it would be able to fit in between each one of those clip and rail systems or girt systems to attach. Likewise, if your cladding is a masonry veneer, for example, you're probably not going to be looking at one of those types of clip and rail or girt systems. You might be using single barrel masonry screw anchors, for example. So you want to make sure that you're selecting the appropriate fastener in conjunction with the insulation. From there, what is really nice about the mineral wool insulation is it's available in easy to manage dimensions. So rather than having a two-person team to handle and score and cut each one of the insulation boards, for example, with a foam plastic rigid board insulation, these actually are, if you will, available in a one-man size board. So that makes it very easy to quickly get an entire system going up with mineral wool continuous insulation. It can be cut very quickly and easily with very readily available tools. Insulation knives are available at all of the distributors as well as at your big box stores. And for the higher thickness, higher density, higher compressive strength materials, a saw could also be used. So there are a lot of different options there. But I would just say reach out to your manufacturer. They actually may have some tips and tricks. They also may have some training available to make your life easier as an installer. And there also, for the designers, are attachment guides out there. We have one that's available on our website that will tell you how many fasteners are needed for a particular cladding type and board size and thickness. And that will just make life so much easier.
Now, we often talk about mineral wool for its fire-resistant properties, but it actually delivers a number of other benefits as a continuous insulation. Let's start by talking about the common enemy architects face, moisture. How does mineral wool fight against moisture infiltration?
Absolutely, and I'm so glad that you bring this up because we do, I think, overshadow ourselves when we talk about fire. Certainly, this product is non-combustible, and we know and have proven that it will definitely perform very well in a lot of different applications. However, we forget to mention all of the other strengths of mineral wool insulation, and particularly moisture. So as we talked about before, continuous insulation, when we talk about mineral wool, can be engineered to be hydrophobic. And in that case, it's actually going to expel or resist moisture. So in a rain screen type application, which could be either a masonry veneer type application, a stucco veneer type application, or an open joint metal panel application, which is really ideal for mineral wool because other materials can't be used in those applications because of its fire properties. It's going to see a lot of moisture with all of those joints allowing moisture and rain to get in. So in that scenario, we want to make sure that this material can resist and not only resist moisture absorption, but also drain. So the testing that we do for these particular applications is very indicative of what you would see in a normal wall. We actually expose the material to a very high heat, high humidity scenario. We're going to have to get as much moisture saturation into the air. So we're going to raise the temperature of that air, and that will allow for it to hold additional weight and water. And then that air is exposed to the mineral wool itself. And so we're trying to see how much moisture the mineral wool can actually take on. That term is called sorption, which is a combination of adsorption and absorption. So absorption is basically absorbing moisture like we know it when it's exposed. But then adsorption is its ability to drain. So we're looking at if moisture does come in contact with the material, is it retained or is it able to drain out? So it's a very nice, unique test that will indicate exactly what's happening in that exterior wall veneer. And in this case, the standard requires a passing rate of no more than 0.5%. Generally, mineral wool continuous insulation, the products that we work with, is less than 0.1% absorption, sorption. So it actually performs significantly well. And if you think in a hot, humid environment where this material would be exposed, this product is hydrophobic and it's able to resist that moisture.
From a sustainability perspective, how does the composition of mineral wool support environmental goals?
Oh, this product actually has one of the highest recycled contents on the market. So we can get up to 70% recycled material. And what is really, I think, not highlighted enough in the industry is the fact that we're actually reusing waste products from other manufacturing processes. So the steel industry produces a waste material called slag. We actually take that waste material and use it as a portion of our base raw material. So we combine rock, some types of rock, and slag at a very high melting point. And of course, that is key to the combustible, non-combustible nature of the mineral wool insulation itself. And we melt those products down. We add a couple of different special features and pieces and parts to, like I said, make that product a chameleon, whether it wants to be hydrophobic, hydrophilic, or fire safing, for example. And then we produce a final product that has a very high recycled content. In addition to that, we're not looking at introducing blowing agents into the material at all. So whereas other materials are going through consistent blowing agent conversions, trying to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and ozone depleting materials, we contribute to reducing greenhouse gas emissions by providing a very high performing insulation and therefore not using additional energy to heat and cool the building. But we also are contributing to not depleting the ozone because we're not using these types of blowing agents that get released ultimately into the atmosphere.
Now a thermal question for you. How does mineral wool deliver thermal properties that inhibit thermal bridging?
So all insulation is basically functioning on the concept of entrapping a gas. And so for a foam plastic product, we are using different types of gases and blowing agents, as I mentioned earlier when we were talking about sustainability. However, in this scenario, mineral wool is relying on our atmosphere to be the gas that's entrapped between all those little fibers. So it's very consistent. It's always readily available. It's not going to escape from the material. And then how do we make that product perform? Obviously, we've seen it placed in between stud cavities for interior applications. And certainly that entrapped gas is going to create a temperature differential between the outside and the inside, which is very reliable and we've seen be very successful. Unfortunately, each one of those studs is also considered a thermal bridge because it's highly conductive. And so it's transferring that heat energy from one side of the wall to the other. So we've noticed that and understood it long enough in the industry that we started to integrate and now building code requires continuous insulation. Mineral wool continuous insulation has been used for a number of years now, and we're starting to innovate, like I said, with higher compressive strength materials that are able to resist some of the additional loads, which only allows us to integrate additional cladding options. So I look forward to what we're going to be coming out with in the near future and seeing what designers are going to come up with. Essentially, the idea of continuous insulation is to limit the penetration of all of those fasteners, and particularly the areas where you would see those studs contacting the exterior wall, because we've protected them with a layer of continuous insulation. So more to come on that, and hopefully we'll see some additional innovation.
Now, your article in our fall issue features a photo of the Museum of the Moving Image with a unique open joint system. What made mineral wool such a great example here?
Oh, this actually capitalized on some of the physical properties of mineral wool that no other material could touch. So in this example, the cladding would be attached later after the mineral wool insulation was installed. So the mineral wool continuous insulation was installed very securely, and I have to stress that. It was installed very securely, and then it was left exposed for 3 seasons. So this material saw rain and sleet and snow and ice and different temperature exposures, as well as UV exposure. So it's been through a cycle of lots of, weathering, right? And in that scenario, only a few minor pieces were replaced due to damage. The rest of them actually stayed in place and were ultimately covered by the cladding once it was ready to be installed. And this really just demonstrates how robust and durable mineral wool continuous insulation can be. Obviously, we don't want to recommend that this is a common installation method where you would install your insulation and leave it exposed for very, very long periods of time. It does need to be protected, just like the rest of your wall. However, this material is very robust and able to resist a lot of loads. And so we want to see more of that. We want to see more innovation and really see what we can do with it. Additionally, you may think of other materials that are immediately below or adjacent to the mineral wool insulation, such as your air and water barrier system. Those materials also have limits on exposure. So it could be that the air barrier could only be installed for a minimum of 60 to 90 days before being covered. Or there are other materials out there that are UV stable, intended for intermittent UV exposure, that may let you go up to a year. However, in this scenario, either way, the mineral wool would also provide a layer of protection there. So I think it is just a good consideration when you're looking particularly at cladding materials that have a long lead time, that require a lot more installation process. Sequencing, to really think about mineral wool as a good option to help solve some of those problems.
Okay, time for the code question. What trends are we seeing with mineral wool and codes?
Well, we've definitely alluded to that a little bit earlier. For mineral wool, there are two things to keep in mind. One that affects all insulations, and that is the increased requirement for continuous insulation throughout the United States. So the International Building Code has required continuous insulation in zones 2 and up for a significant amount of time. And I would venture to guess that the majority of designers today are very familiar with that, as opposed to just a few years earlier, where it was still a new concept and we were having to redesign the thickness of walls, the thickness of window openings and door openings and penetrations. I think we've started to adjust to that as a design community. The next thing that we will see is how that affects fire performance. So there is a standard that I think another group would definitely be familiar with, and that is NFPA 285. And this particular standard covers lateral and vertical fire propagation. It's essentially what happens when the building code requires you to create a non-combustible building, so a type 1 through 4 building, but then they add in the confusion and the conundrum of requiring you to use combustible materials. And that's not just insulation, that's also cladding and different decorative pieces and parts. And the air barrier itself can also be considered combustible. And so in those scenarios, what are we to do to create a building that meets the fire requirements, but also meets the energy requirements. So NFPA 285 is the test we use for that. And what we've consistently seen and learned is that a combustible insulation cannot be combined with a combustible cladding and meet and pass that particular test. However, if you choose to use a combustible cladding, mineral wool has consistently performed well and created a lot of good passing testing assembly, passing assemblies. So I think we will see more related to that, particularly because some of these new innovative claddings that are combustible are thinner, they're more attractive for particular building types. For example, you're looking at high pressure laminate, you're looking at aluminum composite material and those different types of assemblies. And they're going to rely on a non-combustible insulation like mineral wool continuous insulation to be able to meet those code requirements. So I anticipate we will see more and more of that, and it will become more familiar to designers who aren't already using those materials today.
Now, we started out our conversation by talking about the compressive strength of mineral wool. How is Owens Corning integrating new building science findings into its mineral wool portfolio related to compressive strength?
Absolutely. So we are taking what we have learned already, and we've actually created a portion of our site, a new resource called Enclosure Solutions. And in this resource, you can actually go to, for example, with this scenario, our build your own wall portion of the site, and you can select your structural system, whether that be steel stud, wood stud, concrete, or CMU block. And then you can select your cladding system. So that could be a non-combustible masonry or stone veneer, or it could be one of those combustible claddings we talked about earlier, like an ACM, MCM, or an HPL. And then we can actually suggest to you what type of insulation should go in those types of applications. Not only that, we will provide resources such as illustrations, detailing, particularly to meet NFPA 285, the way that you treat the head, jamb, and sill of those particular openings is very critical to performance. We can also address other fire issues like ASTM E119, which is fire rated assemblies, and ASTM E2307, which is perimeter fire containment. All of those may be integrated into your building, and we've provided a resource to really help you get to where you need to go without all of the fluff of the materials and the suggestions that aren't related to your particular wall assembly. What we like to say is, what are you building? How are you building it? We've got a solution. So, for example, you could tell me that you are building a hospital and you're going to build it out of steel stud and maybe a little bit of concrete, and you would like to use metal panel and curtain wall. And in that scenario, I understand that you're going to be using a lot of combustible materials, and we're going to have some acoustic concerns and cost concerns and everything else. From there, I can provide you with the resource of how are you building it, and we've got a solution. And in this case, I can give you some details to work with. I can also point you into the direction of our in-solutions team, which can provide you with a customized engineered judgment and a layout for your curtain wall system to make sure that you've got the perimeter fire containment and the safing that is correct and meets the code requirements. And then I can also provide any other assistance that you might need, including everything from reaching out to the job site to make sure that your materials arrive on time and are ready to go.
That's great to see. And where can our listeners go to learn more?
Well, like I said, you can certainly visit owenscorning.com/enclosure for that build your own wall tool or any of our enclosure solutions, which include walls, roofs, and foundations. You can also reach us at 1-800-GET-PINK and feel free to reach out to us for any of our other technical guides, such as our NFPA 285 design guide, our attachment guide for mineral wool, or any installation instructions.
Well, Tiffany, thank you so much for taking some time on your busy day to speak with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
You can learn more about mineral wool and the exterior enclosure by checking out Tiffany's article in our fall issue of Building Enclosure at buildingenclosureonline.com. Thanks for listening.